I often think when we stand before Him. Somebody said, you're going to die believing God. Who wants to die not believing Him? Hallelujah. 10 years ago when my sister came, Donna, we met a lady that did tree searches. So she searched and found a nest of our relatives in Texas. I was born in Fort Stockton. So she found a nest of our relatives there and tracked a cousin down. They was in Tulsa. So my dad's sister came down to see my cousin she tracked down. So we got to meet. So I found out my dad died in the Veterans Hospital in Muskogee, but just 50 miles from me. It was in the glory days when I was on TV here, did the monthly rallies, had my own planes and all that. I didn't even know he was there. One person has the power to stop me. It's not the devil. I celebrated his victory 2,000 years ago. Time don't seem to help him any. He's still defeated. Amen. You have no idea what kind of rebellion will be put down and finished when it's over and he's incarcerated. He'll roam nowhere anymore. Because he said that that all lies, I mean, he was the father of it. He is the father of liars, okay, but he was the father of it. He was the father of the first lie and all iniquity. It only came from one place. It was him. So in Jesus' price that he paid, he destroyed him that had the power of death, even the devil. When he was stripped to eat the dust of the earth, it was just he couldn't operate through nothing but flesh. In other words, dust you are, dust you'll return. He can't come down I-5 murdering each city as he goes through. In the class of angel he was, one of them could go through and lay 80,000 Assyrians to rest that was threatening Israel. And they woke up dead. They were on the wrong side. That's the power of these angels. If Lucifer had that, then you would know when he was in town. But he was reduced to eat the dust of the earth, which means to do his filthiest work, he has to have a Hitler. He has to have a Cain who his desires to rule over, to start a bloodline that would eventually take the whole world over. Nevertheless, when he's finally incarcerated and all evil's put down, the source of it will be gone. So the price he paid was much more than you can conceive. If he says that you have victory, if I was you, I'd believe it. I would believe it. Or you wouldn't even be graced to stand on this planet had he not been reduced and defeated in his power. So why am I going to enjoy just this walking around freedom where he was reduced to eat the dust of the earth? I'm going to enjoy the ordering him around freedom and turn loose of my friends' freedom. And it's an insult to think that he is going to ruin my life. What an insult. Except there's nobody. There's just one person has the power to stop me. It's not the devil. God. God doesn't even have the power to stop you. Because he's bound by his word. He's not a man that he can lie. Therefore, what he told you is going to come to pass. What he promised you, he can't renege on, nor can he alter. And in his sovereignty, he can't change into something he's not. So what he promised you will come to pass if you believe it. Therefore, he can't stop you.
Well, who's got enough power to stop me?
You. You. It's just you. The devil has to convince you. So you're the only one that has the power to stop yourself. And God's bound to by what you believe. He's bound to what you believe.
I don't believe it.
He says, oh, that's too bad. See, he himself is bound to what you believe. This is why when Jesus addressed the devil, he said, look, he's wise. You need to be wise as a serpent. And of course, they had the serpents in mind. It was in their part of the country. Cobras. You know, I have in mind a bow. Anaconda drop out of a limb on you, surround you and constrict, and every time you breathe just a half a breath out, he takes the room away from you. He squeezes again and you go, and you cannot breathe back in. Every move you make, he'll constrict and he'll lock you right there. Then when you quit struggling, tell me. He circles around, begins to swallow you head first. Boy, when he put a label on the old serpent, he put a good one, didn't he? Rattlesnake, his poison, his protein. It's a pure form of protein. He'll inject you. It's digestive. So what it does is starts digesting you before he ever swallows you. Starts breaking you down. So, I mean, when he used those no armed things, the quiet, the lethal. And he said, we needed to be wise as a serpent. I mean, he never told you to be ignorant of his devices and people.
That say, well, I just don't talk about the devil.
They've already been deceived by thinking if they ignore him, he'll go away. When one of the wisest things they're saying on his behalf is don't learn about him. He said, devil says, I coined that. I coined that. I didn't want them to know nothing about me. I coined that.
Well, I don't give him any glory in my life.
Do you think I do? But Jesus said to be wise as a serpent. And otherwise, you need to know your enemy. The reason he said wise as a serpent, because Satan's got a whole arsenal. A whole arsenal full of weaponry that can only be defeated by the wisdom of God. Most people that are yelling, I have power over the devil, are screaming it out of a stronghold he put them in years ago. Therefore, one of his most valuable tools isn't just sin. His most valuable is deception. The devil's got a lot of holy men that'll kill you in the name of their God and not yours. These guys lock themselves up in rooms and chant all their lives. You want to talk sold out? Religion is one of his most powerful weaponries. And the reason is because God's bound to what you believe. He'll try everything he can to get the truth to you, but what you end up believing is what he's bound by. He's got to stand back and let you go to hell or your grave, anywhere you want to go. But if you decide to believe him, all the incorporate structure of heaven has been put at your disposal. He called it moving mountains. All things are possible to him that believeth, and nothing shall be impossible to you. But to have that kind of walk, you got to get your motives and everything straightened out. It's not to put more rings on your fingers and Cadillacs under your body. The two wealthiest men in the world didn't know what to do with it. They didn't impress them at all. Adam and Noah. What do you do when you own the world? Sell it? Therefore, the exaltation from wealth, you know, is only in proportion to population. Who are you going to impress when you own the world? Thought you'd like that. See, he said, be wise as a serpent, yet harmless as a dove. Because most of what the devil done and does isn't just the things that's obvious to everybody. We know the stalkers that stalk your kids, they're wrong. We know perversion is wrong. We know murder and things like that is wrong. We don't have a problem with that. So the devil usually doesn't go out of his way to try to teach you that that's wrong. In fact, he likes to herd you into it and then condemn you to death. It's a rare exception that a guy will come forward like Carlton Pearson and declare the salvation of all on the one event of the cross. At least he's not leaving Jesus out. Just another alternative, deceptive plan of Satan. But to step forward and say, oh, you have the same God, so yes. Yes, it's not that there's many roads to God. Jesus indeed did pay the price. But what Carlton says is that by one man, death came upon all men. And then by one man, the second Adam, he's claiming that life will eventually come upon all men, whether they accept him or not. Now, I don't know if he's got the devil saved yet or not, but he'll probably be next, ain't he? Which is ultimate reconciliation. Ultimate. Now, when I started getting to know the nature of God through his love, which praying in tongues delivered me to the worship limb, and I thought that I was going to do some good teaching on it, but really, it was to acquaint me with the Father, not God particularly, but God and the Father. I knew God better than I did the Father. So he wanted me to know the Father. And so that's what the private worship did. So the more that his nature pours into mine, then the more I'm able to understand the things that work in his nature. So when he began to show me the kind of love that he has, it increased my faith incredibly. And after he increased my faith to a certain level, boy, I was having fun, you know. In Bakersfield at a Bible college, 6 people come in on crutches and 6 left without them. You know, one time their son had pulled a tendon off, just ripped it or tore it. We set him down and prayed for him in the office on his way through and he was healed. You know. So boy, was I having fun like a kid in a candy shop. Well, when I realized that it was a source that caused God's motivation for a person to turn into power, I wanted to keep the conduit open and finding out that my nature, my new nature, is the reservoir, unlimited reservoir that could pool his love. I wanted more. Well, then the counterfeiter came. I didn't realize what was happening right at first. But when I got baptized in that first real good dose of love that turned into power, then the counterfeiter came and he said, "How can all these people he loves so much go to hell?" I know what got Carlton. The danger of understanding more of his love. The counterfeiter's got a program for that. He'll take you until you can't see how a world can be lost, and you'll be an ultimate reconciliation fellow before it's over. The one thing you don't ever want to do is quit praying in tongues, because the praying in tongues is a revelation gift that inoculates you against deception. Hallelujah. Praying in tongues delivered me to that key that's increasing the love of God in me, but it's also protecting me from taking the love of God down a limb of deception. So don't stop letting the Holy Ghost pray the mind of Christ into your life in power. Don't stop. Don't stop. Woo. Hallelujah. Whew. One person has the power to stop me. He's just one. I'd like to blame you. If I can't blame you, I'd like to blame my dog. If I can't blame my dog, I'd like to blame my busy schedule. Well, if I can't frame that, what am I going to frame? You mean that he's made every provision. He suffered, stood in the place of, took every defeat, took the fullness of it, because the fullness of God's love manifested. God can't love you anymore than he did that moment when he sent him to the cross. See?
Well, he doesn't love me very much.
He manifested himself at the cross. He can't love you anymore. Whatever you're doing, whatever you did, and whatever failure you're heading for, it was already laid upon him in its fullness. In fact, the great victories you can have is what he had to pay for. Now tell me, how can he love you anymore? He can't. He can't. Here's wisdom. If I was you, I'd stop and start receiving the love. Now, of course, grace and mercy is going to follow us to heaven. He's going to wipe our tears away, burn all of our wrong believing into trash. But we will be saved. He said, as by fire, which is a purging fire that burns the dross out and leaves what you did that was pure. And you get a few, anything left, you get a little reward, a lot of reward, new reward. But at least you are there. I don't care how bad that moment is, I'll survive it. Because I'm going to be there. See, hallelujah. So you can't make him love you anymore. But you can love him. You can receive more of what he already has for you. He manifested it. He's already loved you. It isn't will he or maybe. He already has. It's past tense. And you can receive all of it you want in this lifetime. And I'm warning you, when you get like him, you're going to give the wrong things up and hold on to the right things. You're going to start loving people, and you're going to come to a place in power where you'll do something even about their suffering. Oh, you're already standing. I was going to say, get up again. Lift those hands up. I just can't help it. I'm a hopeless addict. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Whew. Glory, glory, glory be to God forever. And the millennial too on top of that.
Well, I don't feel like loving him.
Where do you think the great fight is fought? Huh? We're looking, why aren't we doing much? Why aren't we this? Well, there's not two people that can stop you. There's only one. And if there's any fight, it's to come out of yourself.
But the circumstances have bound me.
They may have bound the things around you, but they can't bind who you are.
Hallelujah. See, you got to come out of yourself if you're going to walk in victory. I can't do it. Come out of there. The only enemy you have is you telling you you can't.
But the devil's an enemy. He can only enforce and magnify what you believe.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory. Well, for a little while there, I was thinking I wasn't going to get to any of this. I could tell by the look on your face, even though you were enjoying the daylights out of the whipping we gave the devil. I could still see that look. Are we going to get to the tree of life? We just was eating off of one of its limbs. Hallelujah. Do I glorify you, love you, and magnify you, Jesus, you. Some things belong to you. In these days, probably one of the greatest things we can worship you for is truth. And we do. Father, everything else is produced from knowing that you did it. I thank you for miracles and healings and power. Oh, Father, I thank you for truth that caused them and sustains us. Inoculates us against deception, and you said we could know the truth. And with all my heart, I worship you, glorify you, and magnify and extol you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah. So why don't we go ahead and try Hebrews 9th chapter. The 23rd verse. Then, of course, we'll be over in Ezekiel for a minute and 28. Now the Eden that Satan covered the same way that Adam was put in the garden to dress it. Lucifer being the anointed cherub that covereth. And what he covered was the Garden of Eden that God had a long time before he built us the house that we live in. And it shouldn't surprise you, because when he talks about redemption, he talks about the things here being a pattern of something that's already existed. But God had an Eden. He had a house. And why wouldn't our house and the Eden he made for us be a copy of the one that he has? But to look at this pattern he's talking about before Jesus shed his blood, that animal blood cleansed the patterns of the things in heaven. And of course, a pattern or a figure of that, a pattern or a figure of it, is something that's made in the likeness of it. You take the original and cut a pattern, and all of a sudden everybody's got a nice little print dress to wear in the 1800s. Churches. So there had to be original to cut her pattern from. So all of this, he said, animal blood, the holiest of holy made with hands that the high priest entered into, that all of these things was a pattern. And he said, Paul said, almost all of them could not be cleansed without blood. So understanding that these are a pattern of things in the heavenly, in the 23rd verse of Hebrews 9, he says, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified by these. But the heavenly things, the ones the patterns were cut from, the heavenly things with better sacrifice than these. For Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, which are the figure of the true. The one made with hands is the pattern, was a figure. It looked just like the true. But Jesus entered into heaven itself to appear in the presence of God. See, for us. So knowing that if God had a house and the place that he lived was covered by the most powerful class of angel, the cherubim, archangel, most powerful class, that if God's Eden was covered by this, and this was his house, then wouldn't it stand to reason when his creation was about done, that when he built our house, that he made a garden, Garden of Eden, called it the same thing, and he put us in it. It had to be a pattern of something that existed, God only knows, the millennials and the millions and the billions of years possibly, that this garden existed, that Satan or Lucifer, the anointed cherub, covered. Now let's look at this place. My God, we had a house just like it till we was thrown out of it. It was just like it. What are you going to think is going to happen when this is all over? And death and hell delivers himself up and the great white throne is done. And God looks into the universe just one time and everything flees away. As everything passes away with the fervent heat. What kind of house do you think we're going to get back? Going to be a homecoming. Going to be a doormat outside. Home sweet Eden. But let's look at this. Go on to Ezekiel. 28th chapter. 13th verse. Let's look at this. In Ezekiel 28 and 13, he says, thou hast been in the Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, sardius, topaz, the diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, carbuncle, gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes were prepared in the day that thou was created. Now, if you successfully do a breakdown on that part, you'll find out the pipes. There wasn't a thing sticking out of his body like an old organ in those monstrous churches. It's these. I understand that when he worshipped, you want to talk covering. I mean, this thing, he could open creation up. It was probably really something to behold. For I know this about Satan, that anybody that has talent has the mark of the call to open creation up to worship. Elvis Presley, they got their home root starts in choirs. Anybody that has talent has the call. You have the call to open creation up to worship, whether you're born again or not. You get born again. That's what that talent's for, is to open creation up.
The talent's the mark of the call. It's not the equipping. The equipping is when you go on and you can get God to come when you sing. It's not a talent contest. It doesn't come outside of you spending time with Him yourself. Hallelujah, Jesus. Woo. Some people say, I have that call. Others say, I don't. I might not be a worship leader, but I am a worshiper. I get the same benefit. I might not make pleasant noise when I sing, but I can get God to come. Well, in Lucifer's beauty, part of his fall and his wisdom was, he said, I want to be like the Most High. I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. I'm be. You know, part of it is he wanted to be worshipped. He wanted to divert some of that to himself. That was pretty evident in the Garden of Eden. And it's evident in the garden where Jesus stood against him to give us a standing that was better than all the power that the devil has. The last temptation, spirit, soul, and body. Body, turn the stones into bread and feed yourself if you're the Son of God. Emotional realms of the soul, jump off the temple. Come on. It's written that the angels will bear you up. Come on. Jump. Jump. And no matter what height he is trying to badger him to, suicide to tempt God, whatever it was, Jesus withstood what would put your strongest man that's ever lived in the lowest level of any insane asylum. He moved on to spirit. He said, I want you to behold all the kingdoms of the world. Now, where do you think he was doing this from? Where are you going to see all the kingdoms of the world from? Lucifer, he's got himself a throne and a high seat of religion he loves to rule up, and that's where he went. In fact, Brother Dinnerkren said that one time, Jesus came to get him, but he felt funny about it. He's been to heaven several times. He said when Jesus came this time to get him, felt uneasy. Looked just like him. He felt uneasy. When the devil knew that he knew who he was, he didn't try to deceive him anymore. You know what he said? You've lost your daughter to death in a car wreck. You're lame. Your leg's lame. You're suffering. You're in pain. Your enemies are always against you. Your circumstances are always bad. I mean, look at the overall picture. What has God really ever done for you? And I said, what'd you say? He said, I wouldn't answer it. Well, he took him up to that high mountain where he rules religions from. He took him up there. Showed him the kingdoms of the world. He says, look at the glory of these. Not just the power. I'll give them to you. I'll give you the glory of them. You'll be the next thing to God. You want to know what Adam withstood? What makes you think that the garden that he was tested in is so much different than the one Jesus was tested in? What do you think happened? Think it was a walk in the park? He said, look at the glory. And all these people will serve you. The glory of the kingdoms, come on. You'll be so exalted. You'll be like the Most High. Come on. And what do you have to do? All you have to do is get down and worship me. What do you think he wanted? Why do you think the devil's so successful taking men off into self-exaltation? They actually end up thinking that all of this is about them and what people can do for them. Not that one. I already have my round with that one. Hallelujah. So Brother Dinnerkin wouldn't answer him. So he came back. But we've got an Eden that was God's house. He made us one, just like his. And if ours is a pattern of his, what do you think it had to have in it? It says after we overcome, we that overcome, we'll freely be able to eat from the tree of life. The indication was not just once. We'll get to freely take whatever this tree is providing for us. So what would make you think if there was one in our Eden that there was not one in God's Eden? And get so excited I can't even stand myself, much less asking you to. Well, if our house is a pattern, the figure of his, if it's a copy, and we got a tree here, what makes you think there wasn't a tree there? What makes you think creation couldn't come and freely partake of God as much as they wanted to through this tree of life? Hallelujah, Jesus. And we had one. We had one. And God had to shut it down, put guards up, run us out of the garden, cut us off, so we wouldn't eat of it anymore. He had a reason for doing that. We'll see if we can get to it in 9 minutes, but I doubt it. You're not going to be mean to me, are you? Thank you. So looking at this again, in the pipes was prepared in him the day he was created. Now notice 14th verse. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I always wondered what he covered. You know, I always wondered. Same reason he put Adam in the garden was to what? To dress it. And I always wondered, you know what, is it the anointed cherub? Cherubim? Isn't it interesting that he was in the same class as the angels that guarded the tree then? Wasn't guarding it against a fallen little man named Adam that lost all his power? He had to have an angelic class to stop Satan's re-entry into the tree with Adam and Eve. Anyway, that's getting more near the end of the story. Just want you to note here, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Same class of cherubims that guarded the tree in the Garden of Eden. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I've set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. You have walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created. Now, one thing I like about this word here, in the sense that you and I were here, we're here now, and we wasn't at one time. No human was. We were created. In that sense, we were created. But in Hebrews, when he was exclaiming how we got a more excellent inheritance than the angels, he had to define the difference where each one of us came from. To the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels ministering spirits and flames of fire. But to the Son, he saith, Thou art my Son. This day you have been born from me. They were created. We were born. That's why you had to come through a single strand of DNA called Adam. It was the creation of man laid out in a little program that you can't even see. Yet he didn't make Eve's body out of the dust of the earth, blow into her life. He reached into Adam's rib and got his DNA. He altered one chromosome and went in the variation of XY. We're so close in creation. It's just a small alteration. Yet Eve came through the same DNA. That's why he didn't make her body out of the ground.
How do you know these things?
Because I laid in my prayer room and prayed them out in the Holy Ghost, and he told me. God's not stupid. He does things in more order than you dreamed of. And I said, but God, how can this be? She came through our DNA and you altered one chromosome? How can that be? You mean she was in his DNA? He says, yes, in the beginning, male and female created he them. She was. Some of them tried to break that down. I know a teacher in town tried to break it down, and he says that God created Eve's spirit and it kind of possessed Adam's. It lived in there and then he pulled it out and right there. Well, she existed in his DNA. And so he changed that one chromosome. And so I was laying there going, I was debating with myself going, well, but God, we're so different. He said, you're not that different. We are too. He said, no, you're not.
Yes.
No. No. Okay. I have to look around for the rating on this statement. I think I can get by with it. Chromosome, DNA is so close. You ever ask yourself why men have breasts? I didn't think so. They're no good for nothing. So he says he was perfect in his ways from the day he was created. We were born. They were created. I like it when Jesus said, call no man on this earth father. I'm saying, whoa, hey, you said honor our father and mother. He wasn't talking about inciting a debate. What he was talking about is this. Once you're born again, your natural father is no more your father than Joseph was Jesus's. You've been born from above, but he has all the honor of bringing you into existence, or there had been nothing to be born again. Hallelujah. Just love these classes, I tell you. Woo. He also said, call no man on this earth teacher. And I said, now wait a minute, what do I do? He explained that one in Corinthians when he says, and look, if you did receive something, he says, why are you acting as though you didn't receive it? You ever wondered what that play on words were? When he said, call no man teacher, what he was saying is this. If you've got some original revelation, then it didn't come from him, and it's probably wrong. See? What are you teaching if it's truth that didn't originate with one who is the teacher? So if you're teaching something that he's not, this is what he said, there's only one teacher. So if you're teaching anything, it's came from him. And if it hasn't, you're not a teacher. He said, and if you do get a revelation from Jesus, why are you running around strutting like a peacock and acting like it came from you? So when he created angels, they're full service ready. I mean, they're full grown, ready for service. And there's no growing. Here they are. And you say, are they male? Are they female? They're neither, but they're masculine. Neither. We don't have a definition. Most all their names are male. But then again, who's the one that thought male names up? It could have went the other way. And Henry, James, and all of that could have been women. Just how language went. But I can tell you this. They're not fat little bumblebee babies with wings that defy laws of physics. The angels I've seen in paintings have to be supernatural, or they couldn't do nothing for you. Little fat baby come on the scene, so what? These little bitty wings just barely clear their little fat heads. I just love babies. Their heads white as their shoulders almost. When they get in a fight with each other, they can barely walk in their daddies, you know, and they go. And they rear back so far with their hand, they fall over backwards, you know. Don't you just love little strands of DNA? Thou the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee. 15, that you're perfect, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee, until iniquity originated in you. When he said he's the father of all liars, because he's the father of it. Meaning, Satan didn't continue a long line of fathers of all liars. And he wasn't created from creations that fell to lying. When he said the father of it, he meant all iniquity. All of that originated with him. Before him, there wasn't any in the universe. There was nothing. All of it came through him. This is what he's talking about here when he says he's perfect in thy ways from the day you was created. Till iniquity was found in him. Now, just to confirm that, let's go to John the 8th chapter for a minute. Let's locate this thing. And then we'll switch gardens next week. We'll go to our Eden. John 8 and 42, Jesus said, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. Simply meaning that all iniquity originated with him. And now they're in iniquity. And he's the father of it. You are of your father, the devil. Lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar. And now notice the wording, how he finishes it. Am the father of it. Notice the wording. There was no liars that he was a long line of. He was the father of it. All of it had its origin and beginning with him. Now, do you notice he says he was a liar from the beginning? Whose beginning? Whose? Because in his, he was perfect in his ways from the day he was created. Whose beginning? Whose? Same as Genesis 1 and 1 and John 1 and 1. In the beginning, the three persons that make up the Godhead acting as one created the heavens and the earth. He was talking about our beginning. In the beginning doesn't mean in the beginning of God. He had no beginning. He always was. I know you can't understand that, but forever He's existed before you was. Before this universe was, He was already here forever. Can you understand a time without Him? The beginning He's talking about is our universe, our creation. In the beginning, before anything we understand to exist had a beginning, God created our heavens, our earth, our creation, and put us in it. And He, being a liar from the beginning and the father of it, was when He introduced His lies to us, which meant in God's Eden, probably billions of years ago, God only knows how long ago, that iniquity was found in Him, but it was already in Him from the beginning of our beginning. And that's why He introduced it to our creation. He was the father of it. Well, can you imagine you giving that eternal creature? I mean, Jesus giving you power over Him. He loses, you win. The only thing He can do is to turn you against yourself. He's got to get you to defeat yourself. He knows what you're sitting on, even if you don't. He thought He had God. That God caused us, the same us, that He came and got us. I mean, who's smart enough to have you born again back into the family you were lost out of? Be the same person, but a new creation. And the old man, having been sentenced to death, and Jesus paying the penalty for all of us, so we could be born again back into God's family with even a greater inheritance facing us than we left behind. What kind of God is so smart that to get you back, you actually had to be born again? Well, I'm home. Doormat, welcome home, son, to Eden. Doormat, closing. Why do you think that Lucifer's loosed? I mean, God had him chained for a millennial. Why turn him loose? He goes out, makes wars against nations. They march against Israel. What's the deal? I mean, if you have a guy chained, leave him. Isn't that your way of thinking? I mean, that's sick. Turn him loose on the world again? Why? Oh, you're asking why? You think I know? You sure I do? He's coming back with His bride. That's us. He's the second Adam. We're His bride. We're in the garden. Lucifer's out. We haven't lived that day out yet. The closest it came to is 967 years. That was Methuselah. Jared at 962. Noah at 950. Can you go on to the end? Nobody lived the day out. For the day you eat of that day you'll die. Nobody's lived it out. We're going to be in the garden with Adam. The end of the thousand year, that day we live out. He's going to come back in the garden. Lucifer is. This time, the last Adam is going to do what the first one was supposed to do. Is throw him out.